Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Two-thirds of aborted babies lost their lives because of abortion pills. We're going to be talking about that. And then what's happening to our water supply? I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me on Faith and Freedom is Holly Mead.
So a report, a 2026 report called Status of Abortion in the United States, reveals that chemical abortions account for 63% of all reported abortions in the U.S. as of 2023. However, I mean, there's so many mail order pills and stuff going under the radar, so to speak. I really would argue it's a lot more than 63%.
Yeah, I think it's probably higher than that. I think we probably really don't know the number because a lot of these are being shipped across state lines. This is a problem that needs to be addressed separately from mifepristone, that in states like Florida and other places that have very strong pro-life laws, like, for example, in Florida, you have the heartbeat bill. That means after 6 weeks, generally when the heartbeat is detected between 5 and 6 weeks, abortion is significantly restricted. So you can't have that abortion in a brick-and-mortar facility. So it makes no sense that somebody from New York can send abortion pills into Florida and violate that law. And that's what's happening.
And according to a 2025 study, these abortion pills are causing serious adverse events. In fact, 1 in 10 patients had a serious adverse event, and 6% of patients needed surgery. So these women go home in the privacy of their own home, take the pills, and can easily bleed to death because there's no doctor involved.
They're going home, or sometimes they're even going to a hotel so that they can leave the area, go to a hotel, and then have this abortion, because we've gotten some feedback from some hotel people about what's happening in their hotels.
Mm.
So the bottom line is they're getting the pills, and some of these are men that are getting the pills because they're allowed to get them telemed. It doesn't have to be for you. So you're getting these pills. Some men are putting them in the water, the drink of women unknowingly. There's even a situation where one of our staff just met someone up in Washington, D.C., where her husband tried to do that multiple times to kill her baby. Fortunately, she was able to take the abortion pill reversal protocol, which is progesterone, and stop the abortion from happening.
Unbelievable.
He eventually went to prison for doing this. But yes, we've seen this happen where people leave their drink, somebody drops in something, and it's an abortion pill. So men are getting them. You don't have any regulation. They're being shipped across state lines, even in places where it's prohibited to have an abortion in a brick and mortar facility. And so they're not getting doctor consultation. They're not getting follow-up. And so many of these women are being injured. And then in addition to that, what you have happening is these abortions are taking place over the toilet. And so what's happening? 30 to 40 tons of aborted fetal tissue, bones, sinew, flesh, organs, tendons, they're going into the water treatment systems. And the water treatment systems are not able to filter out human remains.
Yeah, because these abortion pills are fairly new on the scene, so to speak. They didn't have those years ago, so I'm sure they weren't designed to filter those.
No, so if you look back in 2000 when mifepristone, the abortion pill, which blocks the production of progesterone, was approved under the twilight years of Bill Clinton, they did not do these environmental impact studies. And of course, back then, the presentation was given was that these would be used minimally, which I don't think they ever realized. Mm. I don't think they ever meant that they were going to be used minimally. I think they always had a plan to use this and to bypass all these restrictive pro-life laws that were coming into effect.
Well, especially now that the Planned Parenthood brick and mortars are being closed down, praise God. But these pills are now the majority of abortions.
Yeah, so they're easy to get. They're being shipped across state lines where abortion is not legal. Men are getting them. They're slipping them into women's drinks unknowingly. And then they don't have any follow-up. And they're told, basically, you know, expect some bleeding. So when they have some bleeding, they'd think it's nothing unusual. Well, it could be an ectopic pregnancy that they're experiencing, which is life-threatening.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you mentioned, 1 in 10 are having serious adverse events. So it's a higher number that's having an adverse event. 1 in 10 are having a serious adverse event. And 6% of patients are needing surgery. So this is serious, but it's also going into the water supply. So Liberty Counsel Action prepared a long, detailed paper, nearly 100 pages, regarding abortion in the water. And we have a website that I encourage you to go to, abortioninourwater.org, abortioninourwater.org.
And this report documents how an estimated 30 to 40 tons of hazardous medical waste, including human remains, are being flushed into our water systems.
Yeah, so you have the human remains going into our water supply.
Ugh.
That was never even thought about or discussed. No environmental impact on that has been done.
30 to 40 tons.
Then in addition to that, you have mifepristone. So it has long-lasting metabolites. It's not a controversial proposition that medication residuals are going into the water supply and they're not being filtered out. That's not controversial. I mean, it's problematic, but it's not a controverted issue. In other words, it's widely understood and agreed upon that the water supply, water treatment plants are not capable of filtering out long-lasting metabolites. So we know, for example, it's undisputed that certain drugs stay in the water system. And one of those drugs would be like antibiotics. They're coming into the water system. So they're getting into our drinkable water. That is residuals of antibiotics, where people have antibiotics, and that is going into the water treatment plant. So that's not controversial. So you start with that baseline. Then on top of that, you say, well, mifepristone has long-lasting metabolites. So if we know, and it's undisputed, that the water treatment systems are not filtering out some of these chemicals from drugs that people take, then we also know it's not capable of filtering out other long-lasting metabolites, like what happens with mifepristone. Mifepristone is a progesterone-blocking drug, so it blocks the production of progesterone. You have to ask yourself the question, how much of that is getting into our drinkable water? We know that some of that is getting into our water supplies, lakes, rivers, and streams. We know from tests that mifepristone is causing DNA abnormalities in fish. It's causing other kinds of things that happen that are abnormal in fish that are getting those in the lakes, rivers, and streams.
Well, remember, this drug, mifepristone, was designed to take lives. It was designed to kill children. So it's no surprise it's going to have horrific effects.
Well, and you have to ask yourself the question. We don't have the answer to this, but the question has to be asked, and this is the studies that need to be done. We have an increased rate of infertility. Now, infertility can be secondary to abortion complications. But infertility can also be people who have miscarriages. Well, what does mifepristone do? Causes a quote-unquote miscarriage. It causes the baby to be starved from progesterone. So it stops the production of progesterone. So the baby starves and it dies in the mother's womb. And then you have the quote-unquote miscarriage, you have the expelling of the baby. But the reason why is because you've just starved it by mm-hmm. blocking progesterone. That's why the abortion pill reversal protocol is to add high doses of progesterone to somebody who's had mifepristone to counteract what mifepristone is doing to the mother. So the question you have to ask is the mifepristone progesterone blocking component getting into drinkable water? And if so, is that also a complicating factor in the rise of miscarriages? I don't know the answer to that, But that's a question we deserve to have the answers to, and that's why
worth looking at.
Our team has met with the agencies, HHS, EPA, with others up in Washington, D.C., and in the second MAHA report, Make America Healthy Again report, there is a provision that's in that report because of our work on Capitol Hill, and that is to do a research regarding these chemicals that are going into the water supply system. I encourage you to go to abortiononourwater.org, abortiononourwater.org, because we have PowerPoint, we have lots of information, we have downloadable information there. Send that to your lawmakers, send it to people in your local, state, and federal connection, to your friends. Get this word out, abortioninourwater.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. The website again, lc.org.